The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Wednesday, March 5th, 2008, and Presidential Release number 360. I begin the presidential release with this announcement. Kathy Davis, who is president of the National Federation of the Blind of Florida, says that on February 15, 2008, she became a grandmother as her daughter gave birth to a beautiful grandchild, Kaylee Catherine Taylor, who weighed 7 pounds 12 ounces and measured 19 and a half inches long. She is a beautiful, rosy-skinned, blue-eyed, curly blonde-haired baby, and congratulations to Kaylee and to her mother and to her grandmother, Kathy Davis. Pre-registration for the convention is now open. That is, there are two things to do to become a registered participant in our convention this summer. The 2008 convention of the National Federation of the Blind will soon be upon us. And two things are required. One, you have to get a room at the hotel. And the hotel is the Hilton Anatole Hotel. And the way to get a room at the hotel is to call and ask for one and send along $60 for a deposit. You can do it either by check or by credit card. And the credit card will be charged as soon as you give the credit card to the hotel, so that you pay $60 to reserve a room at the Hilton Anatole Hotel in Dallas, Texas. The telephone number is 214-761-7500, and that's the way to get yourself a room reservation, and you need one of those for the convention. The convention will run this time from Sunday through Saturday. So we usually run it Saturday through Friday, but this time it will be run from Sunday through Saturday, and my memory tells me that the Sunday is the 29th of June and that the Saturday is the 5th of July. So those would be the times for the convention if you want to be there for the full time of the convention, which I urge all of you to do. You got to get yourself a room reservation. The rooms are in the neighborhood of $61 or $2 or $3 for singles and $65 or $6 for doubles and twins or something of the sort. I've forgotten the precise numbers, but they're within the range. And then there's a 15% or something tax that goes on it, which you should know about. But that's what the rooms are. And in a first-class hotel, those room rates are spectacular good. That's one thing to do. Get yourself a room at the hotel. Then the other thing to do is to pre-register for the convention. This is not with the hotel, but it is our pre-registration process. Pre-registration opened on March 1st, and it will remain open until May 31. Those who pre-register get certain advantages. Number one, you get some discounts. The registration fee is $20 at the hotel and $15 if you pre-register. Banquet tickets cost $40 at the hotel, but $35 if you buy them through the pre-registration process. Then there's a third thing. There will be a barbecue at this year's convention. We were studying the question to determine if a barbecue could be held, and we've decided that we'll have a barbecue. Barbecue tickets are $40 at the convention, $35 if you buy them through the pre-registration process now. Pre-registration is open, and if you go through the pre-registration system, then you can pick up your pre-registration packet. It'll be quick and easy. If you don't go through the pre-registration system, then you've got to register when you get to the convention, and there'll be lines to stand in and places to wait and things to worry about while you twiddle your thumbs getting through the registration process. I don't mean that deliberately it will be slow, but if there's a long line, it'll slow it down. So The objective here is to speed the registration process by having people pre-register, and I urge everybody to pre-register. In order to pre-register, you go to www.nfb.org/preregistration2008. That's preregistration 2008. There's no hyphen in this. It's just preregistration 2008. And then you can do the pre-registration, and you'll use a credit card for that. You can pre-register by getting yourself a form to do it, and in order to do that, you've got to call here. It's much easier if you can do it online. I realize that not everybody has a computer, so that there are other ways to do it. If you want to call to pre-register, then you can do that by calling here to the National Center for the Blind. And as everybody knows, the number for the National Center for the Blind is 410-659-9314. If you hit zero and ask Mr. Branch, who is our operator, for the pre-registration area, he'll help you with that. We have a number of things to worry about on this presidential release. And I want to begin by talking about the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, Library of Congress. That is the library for the blind, and it is the best library for the blind anywhere in the world. We are trying to find a way to get the new version of talking books available to blind people. When I came into the program, books were available on record. Record. Some of you have never seen a record. A record is a big flat thing with grooves, and you put a needle in the grooves, and the record went around and around, and you heard it. And it worked fine as long as the record didn't get dirty or wasn't scratched or wasn't broken. Frequently, the record was scratched. Frequently, the record was dirty, and sometimes they were broken, and then they didn't work at all. So, in the 70s period, the early 70s period, we moved to tape recordings, and they were better. They did get twisted up, and sometimes the tape didn't work, and sometimes, no matter what you did, the tape spilled out and you couldn't read it, and sometimes if the tape got hot, it got stuck together and all that. And of course, in the summertime especially, the tape was delivered in your mailbox, and it was summer, and they did get hot. So sometimes the tape stretched, and it just didn't always work. And then sometimes you read through part of the book, and you discovered that the second tape was broken. Occasionally they were missing. This was a problem. So in any case, tape is no longer the standard that is being used. Tape is still being manufactured, but not nearly with the quality that it once was, and not nearly with the attention to detail. And there are other methods available to get recorded information. A lot of people get them online. They use iPods. The system of using tape recordings is going away. So we have worked with the Library of Congress over the past few years. It started about 11 years ago now to think up a new method of getting recorded books. And the way that we did it was to get a digital book. This is a book recorded in digital format and made available on a computer chip, which is included in a cartridge that will go into a machine that the National Library Service will have manufactured for the program. It is a variant of MP3 technology. It is not MP3 technology because MP3 technology is in the public domain, and one of the things that the Library of Congress is in need of doing is to protect the intellectual property of the people who offer the opportunity to read the books for blind people through an audio method. So it's not MP3 in the public domain, but it's a variant of it, and you can plug it into the machines being constructed by the library and then read your books. In order to go through the conversion process from tape recordings to the digital book system, it will take about $76 million. That comes out to $19 million for each of 4 years. It could have been done faster than that, but The constraints of the budget of the library probably mean that 4 years is the best that we can hope for, even though we've been working on this already for 11 years. This has been a very slow process, and the library has said to us, the development of technology will bring together in a few years a technology that is affordable and also can be manufactured without great trouble. And we're now there, but we need the money to do it. The Library of Congress last year asked for $19.1 million in the budget. The eventual offer was $7.5 million. We got that to $12.5 million. Today, the Library of Congress is asking for only $12.5 million, and we need $19.1 million, and we would be best served by having the catch-up money from last year that we didn't get, which is another $6.6 million. In other words, we're looking for $25.7 million. At the moment, we have $12.5 million in the budget. There was a hearing this morning over in Washington, D.C. The person who is chairing the subcommittee that is dealing with the Library of Congress budget is Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she's said that we're not going to get more money than $12.5 million. That's all there's going to be. There's no purpose in discussing it. There's no possibility of changing it. That's what it's going to be. I want to give you Debbie Wasserman Schultz's number, and I want you to call her and tell her that this is an important program for blind people all over America, and we need the money. I want you to call her. I want you also to call your own member of Congress and say you want your member of Congress to sign on a Dear Colleague's letter that is already being circulated throughout the Congress. That Dear Colleague's letter is a letter which says that the full funding for the Digital Talking Book program is needed and that that member of Congress supports this full funding. Then I want you to report what you learned both in your call to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is from Florida, by the way, and to your call to your own member of Congress. Call Jim McCarthy and tell him what happened so that we can keep track of this. And I think it's Jim McCarthy who's doing it. It may be Jesse Hartle, but in any case, either one of them will be glad to keep track of what is happening in the Books for the Blind program, especially for the digital talking book conversion. Here is Debbie Wasserman Schultz's number, but I also want you to call your own member of Congress. This is in the House. It's not in the Senate yet. It will get to the Senate soon, but I want to put the press on the House at the moment. The number is 202-225-7931. Everybody, please call her and then tell us what you learned. You may not learn much, but I want to keep track of who called and how many calls there were and what kind of response we're getting, so please do it soon. Now, I've got some announcements here, and these are from, the first batch of them is from the Governmental Affairs Department. And it says, the instructional materials provisions included as a part of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, when it was last reauthorized in 2004, were theoretically fully implemented for the 2007-2008 school year. Those provisions said that blind children in grade school, middle school, and high school would get their books at the same time that sighted students would get them. Though we expect these provisions to improve the likelihood that blind elementary and high school students receive their books on time, I have received disturbing information suggesting that there has been less improvement than might have been expected. I've heard from a number of people that blind students are not getting their books. Therefore, I asked Mark Riccobono to lead a group of NFB members on a project to determine how we can get the maximum benefits of this new law. The NFB is committed to doing whatever it takes to assure that blind children do get their books at the same time that sighted students get theirs. I have asked this group, under Mark Riccobono's direction, to determine what the problems are and how to fix them. This could include changing the law in Congress, getting new regulations adopted, suing school districts, the Department of Education, or other involved individuals, or taking other action. As an early step in this effort, Mark Riccobono and Jim McCarthy have asked me to share an email address with you, which we are using to collect information regarding the effectiveness of this programs and telling us whether students are getting their books on time. That email address is booksontime@nfb.org. Jim McCarthy will be collecting emails sent to this address and compiling information about whether blind students are getting their materials in a timely manner. Please provide information both about books received on time and books that were late or that were never received at all, so that we can make a fair evaluation of how well the law is working and what steps we must take to make it work better. Mark Riccobono tells me that the group will be reaching out to affiliates, conducting a seminar at our national convention in Dallas, Texas, and developing other activities in the coming weeks and months as it carries out the charge that I gave it. If you have questions about this, you can call Mark Riccobono here at the National Center, or of course you can call me. Then here's another announcement. The Governmental Affairs team expects Congressman Ed Towns of New York to introduce a bill on quiet cars in the very near future. As soon as this bill has been introduced, those in the Governmental Affairs Department will provide the bill number and the names of original co-sponsors. To support this bill and to participate in a probable Senate hearing, another email address has been developed to collect information about the experiences blind people have with respect to quiet cars, sometimes thought of as silent killers. I know of nobody who has been killed by one of these silent cars, but I've heard of a number of close calls. Some of our members have told me about cars that almost hit them or about their canes being run over. But we need to collect all of this information in one place so that it will be available for us to use in planning for the hearings that will be coming. The address to send your information is quietcarstories@nfb.org. That is quietcarstories@nfb.org. Please send your quiet car stories as soon as possible. One other announcement from Governmental Affairs. Jim McCarthy asks me to let you know that Congress is about to begin its Easter recess. The members will be away from Washington for 2 weeks, the week before and the week after Easter. This means they leave D.C. on Friday, March 14th, and return on March 31st. There will be a quiet car bill in the House before the recess. There are Social Security bills in both the House and the Senate, and there is a lot of activity right now regarding the budget of the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped of the Library of Congress in dealing with the conversion from analog to digital talking books and players. Therefore, you are urged, strongly urged, to meet your members of Congress when they are in the district. Get their support for the critical concerns of blind Americans. If you have questions, you can call Jim McCarthy. As soon as you have met with your member of Congress, please let us know what happened so that we can take action based upon what you learn. I have an announcement here from Jerry Lazarus about Celebration 2008. We are now just weeks away from our 2008 celebration scheduled for Friday evening, April 4, in the Members Hall of the NFB Jernigan Institute. A host of restaurants will provide a variety of foods and drink, and the participants will be bidding on silent auction items. After a short program, we will present the ultimate Beatles experience, Beatle Magic, to complete the evening by singing and playing many of your favorite Beatles hits. This is truly your ticket to ride. NFB members are encouraged to attend the celebration, to meet and socialize with our many sponsors, and to have a great time. Additional information about Celebration is on our website under Upcoming Events. Tickets are $75 each and are available for purchase online through the website or by calling 410-659-9314, extension 2419. In addition, please be aware that members can arrange for rooms at the National Center at no cost on a first-come, first-served basis. You can contact Tammy Helm at extension 2291 to request an in-house room assignment. We look forward to having everybody with us for this very special once-a-year celebration event. Now I have an announcement from Anil Lewis, who is the chairperson of the National Federation of the Blind Scholarship Committee. Dear Federationists, this year at our national convention in Dallas, Texas, the National Federation of the Blind will award 30 college scholarships to the nation's top blind students through our 2008 scholarship program. The awards include the $12,000 Kenneth Jernigan Scholarship, one scholarship for $10,000, two scholarships for $7,000 each, four scholarships for $5,000 each, and 22 scholarships for $3,000 each. Each winner will be brought to the NFB Annual Convention this July at Federation expense and will receive additional benefits. By filling out one application, each eligible individual will be considered for our 30 scholarships. This year, the initial application can be completed online. Blind students from high school senior to grad student attendee are advised to go to www.nfb.org/scholarships for the application. In addition to the application, there is complete information on who is eligible and how to apply for the 2008 NFB Scholarship Awards. You can read about previous award winners, get descriptions of the various scholarships, and download a print application if you prefer. If you have any questions, please feel free to get a hold of Anil Lewis by calling the office in Georgia at 404-371-1000 or sending email to scholarships@nfb.org. We are quickly approaching the March 31 scholarship application deadline, and I need your help in identifying, informing, and encouraging the best and the brightest to apply. Thanks, says Anil Lewis. Since our last presidential release, I have taken the opportunity to travel to Geneva, Switzerland, to meet with people who are part of the United Nations. I did this because there is a part of the United Nations that tries to regulate worldwide regulations to harmonize them, as it is called. for automobile manufacture. The United Nations has an Economic and Social Council, which has an Economic Commission for Europe. The United States is part of that Economic Commission. There is an Inland Transportation Committee. There is a Forum for Harmonization of Vehicle Regulations. And there is a Working Party on Noise. And that is what I met with. On the 20th of February, I gave a speech to this group about the importance of having automobiles make enough noise so that pedestrians can hear them. Many of the pedestrians are blind, some of the pedestrians are not. Ordinarily, I have not made addresses to the United Nations. I have been to the United Nations a time or two, and especially when we were bringing out one of our original reading machines, the Kurzweil National Federation of the Blind Reader, I went to the United Nations to show it to leaders of disabled groups from around the world. But it's the only time I've ever been to Geneva. We were well received, and I think we will get a further hearing in the regulatory body that determines what kinds of world regulations should be made. I think that we will make considerable progress on it. I know that we're also working on a quiet cars bill in the Congress and in a number of state legislatures. I think that people have said to us, well, we didn't know. Why didn't you just tell us? We've been trying to find somebody to tell for some time, and when we started telling them with law, they started being a lot more interested. So I don't think we're going to give up on these things, but I think we are going to get some attention to whether we can create a worldwide solution, which would be an excellent thing. Geneva was an interesting place. I went to have fondue one night, which is a sort of a melted cheese in a big pot, and you dip your bread in it. It's got a lot of flavorings and things in it. And so I ate this bread and cheese, and I had a little wine to go with it and a glass of beer, and the whole thing came to $55, and I thought, this is the most expensive bread and cheese I've ever had in my whole life. It was a very expensive place to go, but it was fun to see Geneva. The headquarters of the United Nations used to be the headquarters of the League of Nations, which was established in about 1919, and so we saw quite a bit of history there. This brings me to the end of the presidential release, and I have some offerings here from Mary Ellen Thompson, who, as you know, has worked in and around the National Federation of the Blind now since the early 1980s. She says, "Why did the Easter egg hide? He was a little chicken. What do you get when you cross a bunny with a leek? A bunion. Why does the Easter bunny have a shiny nose? Because the powder puff is on the other end. Or, what is the difference between a crazy bunny and a counterfeit banknote? One is bad money and the other is a mad bunny."
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.